this is a scary time. For those who haven't paid attention, it's time to watch what this president is doing. It's instructive in history to remember that often tyrants are elected democratically at first. Putin, Viktor Orban, just to name two. And then they use the very aspects of democracy to bring it down. Here we're seeing the court system, the National Guard, the Justice Department, and so much more. So this is a president edging more and more toward authoritarianism, being a tyrant.
Edging more and more. It's a pretty big edge.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Maybe he'll jump off it.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day for you on the internet on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us. We are back live today in the beautiful, we'll call them studios, of KPFK 90.7 FM. Glad you could join us here for another thrilling edition of the Bradcast. And, oh, Desi, are you with us? Does your mic work?
I don't know. Let's
there you
try
go.
It.
You're there.
Okay, yes. I was going to laugh at the beautiful studios of KPFK, but hey, we get by as best we can,
hey,
right?
Hey, look, they're air-conditioned.
Yes,
there's
they are.
That. We'll take it. Anyway, we may jump all over the place today. We will see. But it has been nearly a month, I think, since we've been able to open the phones up to you to let you ring in over your public airwaves. So I do hope to get to that today, if only to put a smile on Wendell Handy's face there. Let me give you the number right off the top. If you'd like to ring in on any of the stuff I hope to get to today, including what appears to be Donald Trump's plan to start a war against Venezuela, perhaps at any moment now, or to invade Chicago, yes, Chicago, at any moment now, and what he declared over the weekend Chicago would discover, quote, why it's called the Department of War. That was the threat that Donald Trump gave to the Windy City over the weekend. Of course, it's not the Department of War. It's the Department of Defense. But Trump wants to change that name. And of course, if it was the Department of War, it's not supposed to be used against Chicago. And then there's Donald Trump's continuing cover-up of the Epstein files that he promised to release in full while running for president, but has been running away from that promise ever since for some strange reason. As we now know that Trump himself is prominently named in the files regarding the criminal investigation of the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, who just happened to be one of Donald Trump's best personal friends for 15 years. Want to ring in on why you think Trump now refuses to release those files? Happy to hear from you today on that or anything else. 818-985-5735 as we try to get caught up from a whole lot of news from over the weekend and into today as the nonstop fire hose of nightmares continues in the Trump era. 818-985-5735 if you're listening live today in our live Southern California listening area or anywhere else around the country or globe. Via the live KPFK.org web stream, 818-985-KPFK. I will even try to interrupt my planned coverage today if you call in early, as I'm just as happy, frankly, to give over the airwaves to you to try and make sense of this moment as I am to try and make sense of it myself, given how little sense any of it actually makes. Also, as we covered a lot of ground last week regarding Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s insane testimony in the U.S. Senate, his broken promises regarding availability of the COVID vaccine for everyone who wants it, his cutting off of critical mRNA vaccine research, his firing of the Trump-appointed Senate-confirmed CDC director less than a month after she was sworn in, as she says, because in his words, Kennedy demanded that she, quote, pre-approve the recommendations of a vaccine advisory panel newly filled with people who have publicly expressed anti-vaccine rhetoric. As she noted that it is, quote, imperative that the panel's recommendations are not rubber stamped, but instead are rigorously and scientifically reviewed before being accepted or rejected. Much of which we discussed on this show late last week with public health expert Dr. Tyler Evans, who served as New York City's first chief medical officer during the COVID-19 pandemic. We also discussed the loony Florida Surgeon General Joseph Latipo's announcement last week that all infectious disease vaccine mandates for school children in the state of Florida would soon be officially suspended, including for measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, smallpox, polio, and more. Who needs it? Stay the hell out of Florida. Got any thoughts, explanations, reasons, disagreements, agreements, questions, or anything else on any of that? 818-985-5735. How about on Donald Trump's attempted revenge against his perceived political enemies by forwarding false claims about mortgage fraud against people like California U.S. Senator Adam Schiff, New York Attorney General Letitia James, who won a conviction for about $500 million against Trump last year for, yes, financial fraud. And against Federal Reserve Board Governor Lisa Cook, as we discussed on this program with Pulitzer Prize-winning financial journalist Michael Hiltzik of the LA Times last week. I'm open to all of that. If you'd like to ring in with thoughts or questions or rebuttals or anything else at 818-985-KPFK, if you are listening to our program live today. If you're not, feel free to hit me up via email. I am bradcast@bradblog.com, or you can find me anywhere, anytime on the social medias at TheBradBlog. But I have to start here, because while Trump supporters have long and falsely claimed Donald Trump to be an anti-war candidate and then president, he isn't, he never was. And after he has claimed that he deserves at least, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 Nobel Peace Prizes for God knows what, the so-called anti-war Nobel Peace Prize wanting president of the United States last week signed an executive order declaring that the Department of Defense should now be known as the Department of War. How do you feel about that? Now, never mind that it's not up to him what the department is called, that Congress long ago, via statute in 1949, established that it would be the Department of Defense via an amendment to the National Security Act of 1947. But Donald Trump thinks that he can do anything that he likes with our federal government. And despite a litany of losses in lower court after lower court in recent weeks with a corrupted U.S. Supreme Court, that reminds us yet again today that they appear to be ready to allow Trump to do whatever it is that he wants. On Monday, for example, after a lower court ruled that Trump's roving ICE raids were unlawful out here in Los Angeles, the corrupted Supreme Court on Monday allowed those random raids to continue, which often rounded up U.S. citizens The high court allows those to restart once again this week, at least for now. So with rulings like that, perhaps Donald Trump has every right to believe that he has the dictatorial powers to do any damn thing that he likes, including renaming the Department of Defense to the Department of War, just in time to declare war on Venezuela, or yes, Chicago. Over the weekend, and again, I need to underscore that this is an actual thing that happened. It was done by the President of the United States of America. The President, Donald Trump, posted a photoshopped or an AI photo or whatever of himself as Robert Duvall's character in Apocalypse Now, standing in front of attack helicopters over the American city of Chicago, dropping bombs with the text, quote, "I love the smell of deportations in the morning," with the additional text, quote, "Chicago, about to find out why it's called the Department of War." And the photograph was labeled Chipocalypse Now in the same font as the 1979 movie about the Vietnam War. As the New York Times described the post to social media, it was, quote, "an alarming escalation in Trump's quest to continue deploying the military on U.S. soil in the name of cracking down on crime and illegal immigration." For weeks, the paper notes, Trump has attacked Chicago and other cities led by Democrats that he has assailed as, quote, "hell holes" because of crime, despite plummeting crime rates, and has threatened to send federal agents and National Guard troops to cities throughout the country, just as he did here in Los Angeles several months ago when thousands of National Guard and U.S. Marines were tasked with standing guard around federal buildings that nobody was attacking. Nobody was even visiting, much less attacking. And then in D.C., where guardsmen were seen hanging around for a show of force near low-crime tourist sites and raking leaves in city parks. Great use of the military. Great of him to take those National Guards men and women away from their families and their real jobs in order to rake leaves in the park in D.C. Trump's post on Saturday drew a fierce rebuke from Democrats, especially from Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois, who blasted Trump as a, quote, "wannabe dictator." Though, as several readers and listeners push back at me from time to time, that whole wannabe part of the phrase, well, that may now well be in the rearview mirror, in truth. I actually disagree with those who say that. He thinks, yes, he thinks he's a dictator. He wants to be a dictator. He is acting like a dictator. But the moment that we declare him to be a dictator, the dictator that he wants to be, it seems to me, is the moment that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that we give up our rights and freedoms to have no kings, no dictators in this country. And I, at least, am not prepared to grant him that gift. You may or may not agree. Either way, I'm at 818-985-5735 if you'd like to ring in on that point. Quote, "The President of the United States is threatening to go to war with an American city," Illinois' Governor Pritzker wrote, adding, quote, "This is not a joke. This is not normal." No, it is not. But it is the world that we now live in, incredibly enough. In an interview on CNN's State of the Union, Tom Homan, the White House border czar, said that Trump's words in that post that Chicago is about to find out why it's called the Department of War, those words were, according to Homan, taken out of context. When he was asked whether the president planned to go to war in Chicago, I'm not sure what context they were taken out of, as Donald Trump stood in a battle fatigues in front of a Chicago skyline on fire as is being attacked by U.S. helicopters? What is the context that I'm missing here? The post, Trump's immigration czar Homan said, was intended to convey that the administration is, quote, "going to war with the criminal cartels. We're going to war with illegal aliens and public safety threats," he said. Homan said that federal action in Chicago, including the deployment of the National Guard, could come as soon as this week. Are you ready, Chicago? Are you ready to go to war? The next invasion of an American city by these, let me check my notes, the United States federal government. Are you ready for that? Is this what you folks, and we know you listen to this program, you folks who voted for Donald Trump last year wanted, is this what you wanted? An invasion of Chicago? Especially you folks who voted for Donald Trump because, as you told me, that he was anti-war? Are you still with him, you guys? Give me a call, if so, 818-985-5735, and tell me why. And if you weren't, or if you were, but you aren't anymore now, well, I'd also like to hear from you. We'll put you at the top of the line, 818-985-5735. Now, one of the reasons I need to hear from you on this over your public airwaves was highlighted in a Sunday post by our friend Jameson Fozer in his newsletter, where he wrote, quote, you might think the president of the United States saying he's about to go to war against an American city would be front page news, yet Sunday's print edition of the New York Times does not contain a word about it. Nor, he notes, did the Washington Post on Sunday. President of the United States says Chicago about to find out why it's called the Department of War, and the New York Times nor the Washington Post, neither of them saw it fit to print in their Sunday editions. He notes that knee-jerk defenders of decisions like this will argue that print deadlines make it tough for Saturday news to make it into the Sunday paper, which is true. So he preemptively notes that Trump's social media post about sending the U.S. military to war in Chicago came on Saturday morning, and that both newspapers' Sunday print editions reported the outcome of a tennis match that concluded on Saturday evening. The Times, observes Fozer, even ran a photo of the match on its front page. These newspapers, he said, could have printed Trump's authoritarian threat in their Sunday edition, but they chose not to. So we, today, on the broadcast, are very much choosing to do so.
All the news that is fit to print.
Your mic has got a short in that microphone again. I think you said all the news that's fit to print is...
All the news that is fit to print is not fit for New York Times or Washington Post readers.
Apparently not. Not that important. Not a big deal. 818-985-5735. If you think it might be a big deal. But, notes Fozer, pushing back against Trump by Democratic leaders does seem to work, at least to some extent, at least for now. He cites the response to Trump's tweet, for example, from Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, a Democrat, who said on social media that Trump's latest post was, quote, beneath the honor of our nation. But the reality is that he wants to occupy our city and break our Constitution. Meanwhile, thousands of D.C. residents came out in force to protest the federal occupation of their city over the weekend, and so did Chicagoans, thousands of whom protested the prospect of increased ICE arrests and the president's plan to bring the National Guard into the city. It's too early to tell as we go to air today, but the pushback may have helped. We'll see, because by Sunday, Trump had said, quote, well, we're not going to war with Chicago when he was asked about his Saturday post to his failing social media site after the pushback from Governors Pritzker, Mayor Johnson, and tens of thousands of residents in both D.C. and Chicago who do not want him there. Quote, Donald Trump's authoritarian threat is real, writes Jameson Fozer, but it is not inevitable. He's hoping his threats and actions are met with weakness, and when they aren't, well, he sometimes shows his own. If the pretend anti-war president does not plan to go to war with Chicago, then hey, how about Venezuela? Where he's already committed a war crime, you may as well go and do the whole thing. He bombed a speedboat in international waters last week, claiming that the small vessel contained, quote, massive amounts of drugs and 11 people who were killed in the unlawful attack, at least according to the U.S. government. U.S. forces could have stopped that boat that officials say was carrying illegal drugs from Venezuela to the U.S. last Tuesday. That, according to Secretary of State Marco Rubio. But President Trump chose instead to destroy the boat, killing 11 people on board to send a deterrent message to traffickers. As Washington Post reported at the time, quote, instead of interdicting it on the president's orders, we blew it up and it'll happen again, Rubio told reporters. Citing a president who has been told by his own corrupted U.S. Supreme Court that he has complete and total immunity from the law. So sure, why not? Why not break any laws that he damn well feels like? Rubio said, quote, the president has a right to eliminate immediate threats to the United States, despite the fact, of course, that this tiny little speedboat off the coast of Venezuela, thousands of miles from the U.S. mainland, was obviously anything but a threat, immediate or otherwise, to the United States. White House spokesperson Anna Kelly said in a statement that the strike was, quote, conducted against the operations of a designated terrorist organization and was taken in defense of vital U.S. national interest and in the collective self-defense of other nations, an apparent reference to the 2001 authorization for the use of military force that was enacted by Congress after the 9/11 terrorist attacks that year. That's right. The White House is now referencing the authorization of military force that was adopted by everyone in Congress after 9/11, everyone except, I should note, for the courageous and correct then Democratic California Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who argued at the time that such an authorization would serve as a blank check for U.S. military abuse around the world for years into the future. And boy, did she nail that one, didn't she? The nearly 25-year-old resolution authorizes the use of force against the perpetrators of the Al-Qaeda attacks in 2001 and to prevent, quote, future acts of international terrorism. Various lawmakers have tried unsuccessfully for years to repeal the measure, including, by the way, Vice President J.D. Vance, who as a senator back in 2023 co-sponsored something called the End Endless Wars Act. I guess the ambitious Vance, like the ambitious Marco Rubio, is back in favor of endless wars at this point. Rubio argued the strike was just because interdicting drug smuggling ships yields insufficient results. It doesn't work, he said. What will stop is if you blow them up, he said. The president is going to wage war on narco-terrorists organizations. Note the word terrorist. The narco-terrorist organization Rubio appears to be referring to is the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, which is not known to have anything to do with the international drug trade, much less the fact that nobody even knows if anyone on that boat that we blew out of the water, now blown to smithereens in an unlawful act by the war, act of war by the United States, no one even knows if anyone on that boat was actually a member of that gang because we blew it up. We didn't stop it. We blew it up.
Yes, which means that there is no evidence left behind to find out if they were doing any kind of drug smuggling or anything at all.
There is no evidence to know if there was even drugs on the board, on board that boat. For all we know, it could have been carrying migrants who were trying to escape the rule of Venezuela's corrupt leader, Nicolas Maduro, who appears to have stolen his last election and has imprisoned his opposition, something, frankly, that you would think a wannabe dictator like Donald Trump would actually appreciate. Quote, it was a massive amount of drugs coming into our country to kill a lot of people, Trump lied the day after the attack. But Tren de Aragua has not been associated with drug trafficking, according to Jeremy McDermott, the co-founder and co-director of Insight Crime, which has researched the Venezuelan gang. It has a presence in several Latin American countries. It has focused on extortion, human smuggling, and human trafficking, preying particularly on Venezuelans who have fled Maduro's rule. Up until now, McDermott told the Washington Post, we do not qualify the Tren de Aragua as a transnational drug trafficking organization. We have been unable to link any multi-ton shipments crossing any frontiers. But let's blow them up anyway. Why not? Who's going to say anything about it? We don't recognize the international rule of law, the international court of law. And Donald Trump has complete immunity from the laws of the United States. Now, J.D. Vance has said over the weekend he used to pretend to oppose endless wars. Well, now he's playing along with this narco-terrorist nonsense to justify killing anyone that the U.S. wants to kill at any time, anywhere, for any reason, so long as you call them terrorists when you do it. I'm a terrorist. You're a terrorist. Well, watch out. Here come the bombs. Earlier in the week, he told reporters, J.D. Vance did, that the people on the boat were, quote, literal terrorists. Experts told the New York Times that Venezuela, quote, plays virtually no role in the cocaine or fentanyl trade. On Saturday, Vance referenced the bombing again. He wrote on social media, quote, killing cartel members who poison our fellow citizens is the highest and best use of our military. Really? Is it? When someone challenged that in comments, calling the bombing a war crime, Vance wrote, quote, I don't give a bleep what you call it. Disabled Iraq War veteran turned Illinois Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, however, was asked about the attack on the Venezuelan speedboat. Unlike J.D. Vance, she damn near gave her life for this country in the military. She was asked about that attack and about J.D. Vance's comments about it over the weekend on Face the Nation.
It was an illegal move by the Trump administration. There's a thing called due process in this country, and that needed to have happened. And the fact that it happened in international waters actually opens Americans to a similar action by our adversaries. We were just talking about Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping and getting together and showing a show of force against the United States. Well, There's nothing now to stop them from doing something like that against Americans in international waters, and it could be civilians, and they could say, you know what? Those were drug boats. We're just going to go ahead and blow them out of the water. He's setting a precedence here that puts Americans in danger.
Puts Americans in danger and puts us on the very cusp of war. And believe it or not, even a Republican jumped in to question the administration's wildly unlawful use of military force last week against Venezuela or against whoever was in that boat. Kentucky's Republican Senator Rand Paul called out J.D. Vance for his remarks, writing, quote, J.D., I don't give a bleep. Vance says killing people he accuses of a crime is the, quote, highest and best use of the military. Paul goes on to ask, did he ever read To Kill a Mockingbird? Did he ever wonder what might happen if the accused were immediately executed without trial or representation? What a despicable and thoughtless sentiment it is to glorify killing someone without a trial, said Rand Paul, who now chairs the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. He's been an outspoken critic of this bombing. He argued that America's legal system is set up to not, quote, automatically assume guilt and for suspects to have trials. He added that they could have been innocent people fleeing Venezuela. He said, quote, I think probably that we had the facts correct. We got bad people here, but it isn't our policy to just blow people up, he said. We don't blow up ships entering our waters unless they're hell-bent on attacking another ship or unless they are resisting with gunfire. Now, I believe Rand Paul is right on that, but I would warn you to not make too much of a hero out of Rand Paul here. I guess this is why it helps to have people doing these shows who have been around for a while, as we have, because as I read about his statements this weekend, I was reminded of a quote from him, what he said, his exact words back in 2013, that is, I guess, 12 years ago. I suspect we reported on it on air at the time. He was talking about the use of weaponized drones against Americans. When he said, and this is a direct quote, if someone comes out of a liquor store with a weapon and $50 in cash, I don't care if a drone kills him or a policeman kills him. So, yeah, Not a lot of heroes here, it seems to me.
Well, you know, sometimes people grow up, like after they become senators. Maybe Rand Paul decided to think better of such hot-headed responses and the idea of extrajudicial killings of people, you know, who are just doing petty theft.
Okay.
Maybe that's what happened to him. I wish that would have happened to J.D. Vance, who did become a senator and then on to vice president, but apparently is all in favor of military
executions. Well, I don't have time to look it up now, but I'm pretty sure back in 2013 that Rand Paul was already a senator. Maybe I'm wrong there. I don't know. Either way,
I'd like to think he's grown
up. You'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's grown up. I'd like to think you're right. I wouldn't put $50 in cash and a weapon leaving a liquor store on it, however, but we'll see. No heroes here. Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe you see it differently, too. If so, I welcome your argument, 818-985-5735. My bigger concern today, however, is that all the signs suggest that we are now preparing for a full-on war at this point with Venezuela. Even if our American media do not yet appear to be reporting it that way, which is kind of remarkable to me. The U.S. has now dispatched about 10 different warships to the waters near Venezuela around Central and South America in recent weeks. 10 different warships for what officials have described as anti-drug trafficking operations. Venezuela's corrupt dictator, Nicolas Maduro, has warned Venezuelans of a possible U.S. invasion. He has dispatched troops to Venezuela's border with Colombia and called on civilians to join militias to defend the country. It sure does feel like Donald Trump is preparing to go to war. Over the weekend, as required by the War Powers Act, Donald Trump finally notified Congress of the administration's reason for attacking the speedboat off of Venezuela. Posting the letter from Trump on Blue Sky, former State Department lawyer, now editor of Just Security, Brian Finucane, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce his name, that's how I'm going to pronounce it, he described the report as, quote, long on bluster and short on substance. From Trump's letter, he says it does not adequately justify premeditated killing of apparent civilians. He says that the letter does not establish that the target was lawful under the law of war. Indeed, the report does not even make a case that the U.S. is engaged in an armed conflict with whatever unspecified group that the U.S. was supposedly targeting. Outside of armed conflict governed by the law of war, the premeditated killing of other people is generally considered murder. The, quote, the War Powers Act, argues Finucane, leaves open the possibility of further military action in the region. Question now becomes, will Congress respond to assert its own constitutional prerogatives on war and peace? And I'm trying not to laugh here. Let's get to some of your thoughts on this today. But yeah, I'm wondering, are we going to war against Venezuela? Or are we going to war against Chicago? Or are we going to war against both? And which one first? I don't know. We'll see. It depends on whether Congress is able to finally shake loose more materials from the Epstein files, which we got some of those today as well. But we'll get to that in a bit. Let me get to some calls. David in Venice. Hey, David. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi. Hi, Brad. This is all provocation. You know, this is all provocation against the cities, blue cities. Somebody's going to get hurt. And then the response is what they're looking for. And I don't know. I'd like to hear from Venezuela who those people were on that boat. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever going to try and find out that. But
It's interesting. Venezuela is actually claiming the whole thing is made up. They're claiming that the whole thing was AI and that it's a fake video.
Who knows? Okay. But I've heard that, too. But anyway... Yep. That's quite a political stunt, and it goes along with all the provocation. And this is what we can look forward to this president, you know, from this president, is provocation against the very people, you know, that we the people, you know, provocation against them. I'm worried about it because I'm against the genocide that's going on in Palestine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm worried that I'm going to get grabbed, and I'm an American citizen, so I don't know, you know, what's going on here. There's
None of us do, David.
You know, I don't know what to say.
None of us do. And that's why it's important to at least tell people what is going on here, why it's going on, how it ends, where it goes from here. I do not know. But the fact that New York Times, that the president of the United States goes on to social media and says Chicago about to find out why we call it the Department of War on a Saturday and Sunday paper, nobody says anything about it. The New York Times. Yeah. The Washington Post don't mention it in their paper. That's insane, it seems to me.
It's terrible that we're at this point. You know, we're Americans and we deserve better than this. That's for sure.
We do. Thank you very much, David. I appreciate that call. 818-985.
Okay, bye-bye.
818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Roger in Minneapolis. Hey, Roger, welcome to the broadcast. Good to see from you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to participate in the program, Brad. It is a rather painful experience to have grown up in a country that purported to be sort of bending towards democracy, mm-hmm. And see what is happening now. And my message to those people who feel like fleeing this country is, please, those of us who are able to perceive what is happening with the degradation of our rule of law, mm-hmm. we are the white blood cells of this organism, and we need to stay here and fight in the heart of the beast. That's our job. When our awareness causes us to recognize areas where we have to take action, it becomes responsibility, Brad.
Yeah. No, it does, and I think you're talking about people who are actually literally fleeing, you know, moving to Canada, moving to Europe, moving somewhere. There's a lot of people who are fleeing while staying here at home, while just turning away, turning off the news, not paying attention because it is too exhausting. And believe me, I understand. I get it. I wish I could turn it off. I wish I could turn away. I wish this was just a nightmare that we would somehow wake up from. But we are not going to. This is for real. This is what is going on. And this is getting worse and worse and worse. And the more that people turn away from it, the more dangerous it becomes.
Well, Brad, my comments are targeted actually directly towards those people who wish to tune out.
Yeah.
I think that the expatriates, there's going to be some. But no, this is about the responsibility that we as individuals are imbued of as a consequence of our awareness. And for those who wish to tune out, and you and I are among the ones who feel that way at times, what we need to do is find balance and live joyously. The thing that fascists will hate the most is if we live joyously in our countering of their behavior.
I don't disagree, although you don't sound very joyous in saying it, Roger.
Yes, I am.
All right, good. Glad to hear it. Thanks, Roger. I appreciate the call, my friend. 818-985-KPFK. Let me do this. Let me take a quick break here. We will come back with Lou right off the bat. Lou, I know you've been hanging on for a while, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. A bunch of other people on the board as well. 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
There is no emergency in Chicago. There's no emergency in Illinois. We have made it very clear at every level of government, we do not want them here. And there's no need to federalize the National Guard and have a military presence on American soil here in the city of Chicago. This is a classic page out of an authoritarian's playbook.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Won't you please come to Chicago just to sing? In a land that's known as freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come to Chicago for the help that we can bring? We can change.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. That was Lieutenant Governor of Illinois Julia Stratton there at the top. That bumper music, thanks to our bumper music Sherpa and friend KCP. Did I say welcome back to the Bradcast? Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Want to get straight back to your calls. Where's the first war going to happen? Chicago or Venezuela or both at the same time or none at all? Am I just over-worrying about everything? Because Donald Trump is an anti-war president. Sure he is. Lou in Echo Park. Hey, welcome to the Bradcast, Lou.
Hello.
Is that my
hello,
old friend Lou?
Brad, I love the way you fight the good fight.
Thank you, Lou. So good to hear from you. I knew you, I should let people know, from back in the old days, from the old theater that we both worked at, Sacred Fools. I think they're still sacredfools.org. Good to hear from you, my friend. You doing okay?
I am. I'm chilling in some AC little pickup truck of mine, taking a break from my daily work.
All right.
And as the son of Chicago, I could go on and on and on about what's going on there, but you'll get plenty of other people on that. I just wanted to ask your particular opinion about particular ways the orange ogre gets your hackles up. You know, there's so many, you know how every time something happens, different ways your hackles just send you through the roof and you got to keep it under control.
Yep.
But the one, now I've had enough good therapy to know nobody can make you do anything.
Right.
It's my choice to let my hackles get up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when he salutes. That so bugs me because he doesn't earn the right to salute, never has, never will.
Mm.
Who does he think he is? Some cosplaying whatever that. Chef.
Well, you know.
I'm a Boy Scout, so I can salute with three fingers.
Well.
I was a Boy Scout.
Yeah, I can
salute. He insults so many.
I can insult him with one finger. That said. You know. That's it. That said. You know what? He wants to drive you nuts. He wants to drive me nuts. As Roger said from Minneapolis, living with joy drives him crazy. So when we let him anger us, infuriate us, that's exactly what he wants. That's exactly what his twisted supporters want for some reason. Sure, they're happy to have their lives totally screwed up, their economy screwed up, their jobs, through the toilet, as long as it, you know, somehow owns the libs. I don't get it. I don't understand that thinking. And hopefully a lot of them are starting to realize that, how their lives are being screwed up by this jackass and that, maybe owning the libs isn't worth, another pandemic where a million people die or children start dropping off from measles because we're getting rid of, vaccines. It's madness, Lou. Hey, have you talked to folks back home, family members back in Chicago? Had the chance to do that to find out how they're looking at this?
They're all just freaking out too.
Okay.
Because they can't help it. They're still there.
Well, tell them don't freak out. Stand up. We've had the National Guard here. We survived it. They will too in Chicago because I think they're a lot tougher than us anyway. Hey, Lou, great.
That's how I feel too. It's Chicago, baby.
Yeah, that's it.
Atlanta, big shoulders.
Good luck to them there. Lou, great to hear from you, my friend. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Stay in touch. Love you back. All right.
Bye.
818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Chris in Pasadena. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Bradcast. Did I get it right? Nope. Did I hang up on Chris?
No, he fell off just a second there. Yeah, hang on. We'll hope he calls back.
Call us right back, Chris. We'll get you right on. Let me go to, in the meantime, Jesse in L.A. Hey, Jesse, welcome to the Bradcast.
Lenny turned this off before us.
Oh, Jesse, are you there? Are you awake?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Get to the phone. Turn off the speakerphone. You're on the public airwaves.
Right now.
Okay, take your time. No rush, really.
You're good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we can barely hear you, Jess.
Yeah, you can barely hear. How about now? Just look up percentage. Department of Peace percentage. Look it up on the internet.
All right, I will do that. Kucinich, Department of Peace. Yes, he tried to rename the Department of Defense, the Department of Peace. Well, we seem to be going in the opposite direction. 818-985-KPFK. I think we got Chris back. Do we have Chris back? All right, here we go. Hey, Chris, welcome to the broadcast. Chris from Pasadena. How you doing, sir, ma'am?
Pretty good,
sir.
Brett. How are you?
I'm okay. What's up?
Well, I'm also from Chicago, as the previous caller was mentioning, and you know, it's a strong town, it's a hard town, and I think that if people keep their heads cool, you know, we'll get through it just like LA did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of those things where you know, it's just you have to call this guy's bluff and move forward.
You have to stand up to him, and because he does back down. It's interesting. He said he's been saying now for weeks that he was going into Chicago, and then J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, came out and pushed back, said, if you do that, I'm going to protect my residents, my people here in Illinois, in Chicago. The lieutenant governor, Juliana Stratton, said something similar, had similar remarks. We played a little bit of those. But, Chris, let me play a little bit more on it and get your thoughts here. This is clip number three, Wendell. Hang on, Chris.
You got this three? This is a manufactured crisis. Let's start with this surge. We're going into places like churches and schools, and as we just saw, courthouses, and stoking fear and knowing that people are going to react. And then when people do react, when they raise their voices, when they resist and protest, then the Trump administration is going to claim, well, now we have to come in and restore order. There is no emergency in Chicago. There's no emergency in Illinois. We have made it very clear at every level of government, we do not want them here, and there's no need to federalize the National Guard and have a military presence on American soil here in the city of Chicago. This is a classic page out of an authoritarian's playbook.
It certainly is. That was Juliana Stratton, Lieutenant Governor of Illinois. Chris, folks you've talked to in Chicago, from whence you came, are they frightened by this, or are they just mostly irritated by this?
Well, I actually haven't talked to anybody because I haven't been there for a long time. Uh-huh. It's just that I know that people there are resilient, and we'll get through this. But I also want to refer back to something you said earlier on the program as it began. You're talking about, you know, you don't know what's going to happen or why this guy is doing what he's doing, and you know how we're going to get through this, you know, this pathetic idiot. And it's just you know, you have to keep cool heads and behave in a lawful manner and make it through it. And also, yeah, I have to have a shout out to the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson. Mm-hmm. He's doing an excellent job also.
Yep, he is. Thanks, Chris. They do not seem to be cowed in Chicago. Not yet, anyway. We'll see how that presses forward as more and more information on Jeffrey Epstein comes out. Shortly before airtime this afternoon, Democrats on the House Oversight Committee released what AP describes as a sexually suggestive letter to Jeffrey Epstein, purportedly signed by Donald Trump, which he has denied having anything to do with. He said that he did not write the birthday letter for his friend, sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, on his 50th birthday, or create the drawing of a curvaceous woman that surrounds the letter, which features Trump's signature where the woman's public pubic hair would be. The letter was included as part of a 2003 album compiled for Epstein's birthday. The president has denied having anything to do with it. He filed a $10 billion lawsuit against the Wall Street Journal for a report on the alleged letter. But just as they reported, as they described, well, this appears to be exactly as they described it. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee received a copy of the birthday album a collection of these letters to Epstein. They received a copy of it on Monday as part of a batch of documents from Epstein's estate. Trump has denied writing the letter and creating the drawing, calling the Wall Street Journal report, quote, false, malicious, and defamatory. These are not my words, not the way I talk. Also, I don't draw pictures, Trump said. Several pictures drawn and signed by Trump have been sold via charity auction over the years. The letter bearing Trump's name and signature released by the committee looks exactly as described, as I said, by the Wall Street Journal in its report. And it includes the text, quote, a pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday. And may every day be another wonderful secret. Donald Trump in a purported birthday card to the late sex trafficker and 15-year best friend of Donald Trump, Jeffrey Epstein. That card purported to be by Trump was released by House Democrats, I should say, today. I wonder if that will be worth going to war to distract from in either Chicago or Venezuela or both. Matt in San Luis Obispo, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, it's very laughable to have Trump in the with the pose of Robert Duvall and, you know, President Bonespur, who never, ever would get near a war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what horrible things he was doing at that time, and here he wants a Nobel Peace Prize,
right?
Which I guess if you spell it P-I-E-C-E, I could be agreeing with that.
Okay.
And just a couple quick things.
Yep.
You know, I really do hope the Venezuelan thing is an AI hoax, but the notion it's just the depths into horror that we're dragged into each day. The only remedy for this is for the Democrats to really, really get themselves together. But I don't have a lot of faith in all but a few of this corporate neoliberal Democratic Party.
Well, if they were to get themselves together, Matt, as you described it, what would that look like? In other words, what is it that they are not doing that you think they ought to be doing that would make a difference in this moment right now?
Well, actually speaking to the people, you know, sloughing off their corporate donor masters, not being involved with things like the genocide in Gaza. And Trump won because of a failure of the Democrats. He put in all the, he also, you know, falsely, he had no real intention of helping the downtrodden, but he attempted to speak with them or to them. And I think the Democrats really need to become a populist party,
mm-hmm.
which they've turned away from since Tony Coelho in the 1970s, okay. and the neoliberals, et cetera, et cetera.
And do you think they're catching on? Do you think they're figuring that out? We're seeing special elections for Democrats where they're flipping Republican seats in deep red districts around the country. We're seeing voters turning out for Zoran Mamdani in New York City.
Yes.
We're seeing a case after case where in these special elections, Democrats are having like, you know, 15, 20, 30 point shifts from in favor of the Democrats from where they were last November. Are they back on track as you see it?
I think that is amazing. And it's amazing also too, how fast things can turn around when the sleeping giant of the populace wakes up. And then, because a lot of these different, I mean, Mamdani, I think, is a good person on his own. But I think some politicians in place now need to be reminded that they're public servants, and if they want to stay in office, to get in line with that. And I do see some encouraging things happening.
Thanks for your call, Matt. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Brad.
You bet. 818-985-2735. KPFK. There, and I didn't have time for this because I want to get to another a call or two before we go here. But the Epstein discharge petition in the U.S. House, where you've got, I think, four Republicans and every Democrat calling for the full, complete, and total, unredacted release of the Epstein files, which Speaker Mike Johnson is preventing from coming up for a vote in the House. Well, now we've got every Democrat and these four Republicans signing on to release the files, to actually have a vote on it, I should say. They need two more. They've got 216 signed on. If they can get a majority, which would be 218, then that vote will happen. Well, right now, the White House and the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, have been whipping against votes, or at least against people signing on to this petition. That said, only two more signatures are needed. And guess what? There are two special elections this month, one of them this week on Tuesday. Another one a little bit later, where the Democrats are expected to win, and both Democrats, one is in Arizona, the other one is in, where is it, Texas? I've lost her. Oh, Virginia. In both of those cases, the Democratic candidates who are leading and expected to win have said they would sign on to this petition. They may not need any more Republican signatures to bring this petition to the House floor. Keep your eye on that. Let me go to Hal very quickly. I know we're running late. Hal in Huntington Beach. Welcome to the broadcast, Hal.
Hey, thank you, man. Hey, there's cracks in the wall. We got to keep pushing. We got to get Joe Rogan to interview John Bolton or one of these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Vegas. Vegas is a ghost town. So is Orlando.
Yep.
In the Disney World,
yeah,
tourism is down. We got to get all those people, target them, and get them on board.
Yep.
And also all the farmers who are losing their customers to China, they're losing them to Brazil.
Yep.
So they're losing money. All these small businesses are going under because their prices are rising, and that's what we got to target.
And the people who this is happening to, they see it, I think. They feel it, I think, which is why it's so maddening when we see the corporate media continuing to pull their punches. I think I have time for thanks for that call, Hal. I got 15 seconds for Mo. Hey, Mo from Long Beach, you got 15 seconds for me, my friend?
Yes, sir. No war in Venezuela, Bradley. We can't afford it. We'll lose. We're not fighting Venezuela. We're fighting the BRICS nations. Everything you saw China had the other day in that parade, Venezuela's got it. Let's just hold it just some theater, man. We can't afford to fight anybody right now. We're a paper line militarily, and we can't afford it, okay? Just hope it's just a distraction from the Jeffrey Epstein file, but we couldn't whoop Venezuela right now, and that's the truth. We can whoop migrants in America, but we can't whoop no nations right now, man. All right, let me let you go.
Thanks, Mo. Appreciate your thoughts, my friend. All right, we got to get out. Thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen. Thanks to our board operator, Wendell Handy. Thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, you can always download them for free at bradblog.com or your favorite podcast site. But stop on by bradblog.com and say hello. Drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, I am the Brad Blog. We will see you there. Until we see you next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.